Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're today celebrating the exaltation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day. It's a feast. It's a time to celebrate and exalt the Lord's victory, this instrument that was meant to be the humiliation of our Lord, clearly a symbol of humiliation, defeat in the Roman world, becomes for us the great sign of our salvation, the instrument by which we have been saved. And we exalt in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for many different reasons, but fundamentally, that's the place where our salvation was won, where Jesus destroyed the principalities and powers of this world that enslaved the human race in what St. Paul described as the reign of sin and death, sin's power over us. It's the cross which is the antidote to the fundamental problem that every single human being is fighting against, the reality of death, and death's hold over the human mind and the human heart. Where does death come from? Death comes through sin. All men have sinned, Paul tells us. Therefore, all men die. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, which produces the death problem. And that victory, that destruction of those powers at work over us happened on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, verse 18, he says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God's power over all the forces that are set against the kingdom of God and all the forces that had enslaved and exercised dominion over the entire human race, and it happens to this day, was destroyed through this instrument, this sign of contradiction in Jesus dying, in Jesus' humiliation, in Jesus emptying himself. We'll take a look at that a little later in the program today, reading the church gives us from Philippians chapter 2. But I want to read from Romans chapter 6 to talk about how the cross is for us the power of God. It's in our baptism where we first encounter the actual power of the cross. Because as Paul will tell us, it's in baptism that we're united to Christ, but we're united to Christ in his death. Let's read. It says, chapter 6 begins, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So this is why baptism is so central to the teaching of the church and obviously of Scripture, that it's not just a symbol, it's not just a sign, but it's a reality. It affects, you know, the definition of a sacrament, it affects what it signifies. And what it's signifying is a dying. That's the first part of it. And what needs to die? The old man that's under the curse of sin and death. It's the old man that's under the dominion and the power of the prince of this world. It's to put to death the old man that has literally no hope. St. Paul would say, we would live without hope in the world apart from this fundamental experience of being baptized into Jesus. When we're baptized into Jesus, we are literally united to the death of Jesus. And the death of Jesus is the reality of his death on Calvary. It's there, as St. Paul mentions in another place, that the devil did the one thing he never should have done, which is spill the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure Lamb of God, who far exceeded, infinitely exceeded all the lambs and the goats and the rest that were sacrificed in the temple for Israel, for forgiveness of sins, but it couldn't do what needed to be done. A perfect offering needed to be made, and an offering from us, one of us, we, the race of people who had rebelled against God, who had fallen into sin, inherited sin through original sin passed on to us by our forefathers, Jesus becomes a second Adam. Jesus comes to give to God what belongs to God, to where Adam failed to stand in the face of temptation, Jesus is the victor in the face of all temptation. And he gave to God in his entire life, right up to the point of his death, he offered himself a sinless, perfect human response to God. And Jesus died in obedience to God. And it was an act of love by which we were saved. Jesus died on that cross, first to express his love in perfect obedience to the Father, and then to express his love for you and for me. No greater love is a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. And there it is. Jesus gave literally everything. And in his dying, his blood was shed. Scripture says there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Jesus offered his life as a sacrifice for us. And when the devil spilled just one blood of that precious Son of God in that offering, that blood was enough to cleanse us of all sin. So Paul tells us that it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses our conscience. A conscience that knows that we stand guilty before God, that we're not innocent, that we haven't fulfilled the law, and knowing we stand under the shadow of death that's cast over us. It casts its great shadow, and the human race is so afraid of it, running from it, has no solution to it. But God so loved the world, as the gospel reading given to us today says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that all who would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. And in baptism, that gift of faith begins. And it's in baptism that we're united to the one-time death of Jesus. He doesn't die over and over again, like some people accuse Catholics in the liturgy that Jesus dies over and over again. No, he died once. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, that act of love by which we're saved, that offering and sacrifice to God in love, is made present to us. And the first place we encounter it as a reality and as a power is in baptism. And the old man in us, which is death-directed, which is under the dominion of death, is united to the death of Jesus. And as the scripture tells us, he died your death, he died my death. And by a miracle of God's mercy, we're united to that death of Jesus. And the death that Jesus died is applied to our life. And the blood of Jesus washes over us. And it cleanses us from the stain of original sin. And it renders us pure. It gives us God's life. It gives us God's grace. And then in that moment, Jesus breathes, the Father breathes, they give us the Holy Spirit, the new principle of life that's within us. So we celebrate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the great victory. And today, again, we're given the Philippians 2 hymn to the glory of Jesus and the reality of the dynamic that was unfolding in his death. So I just want to read it in honor of our Lord as we read it, just think of him and his love and his power and his glory and his majesty. And it reveals to you and me our pathway. Believe it or not, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross. That means we have to walk in the radical love for the Father, radical love for our neighbor, in the mission of our Lord, just like he did. So it reads like this, brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, that means he is equal to God, right? He's of God's nature. Jesus is human and divine. He did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. That is, he didn't, in condescending, in becoming a human being, he set aside the central focus of his divinity. You could say there's never a time when Jesus was not divine. When he took on human flesh, when the hypostatic union, the union between the divine life of God and the human flesh that Jesus received from Our Lady, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Emptied himself. The word there is kenosis. So he chose to take on human form and subject himself to everything we're subjected to, taking on the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found in human appearance, he humbled himself becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself, a decision of his will. Now that's a radical expression, again, of love for God and love for neighbor, love for you and for me. In order for us to be saved, Jesus had to make a decision that set the way, set the course of hope for human history, the new course of a human heart that was radically set on love, doing the good for the other, and making one's life an offering for the other, so that in his dying, in Jesus emptying himself, he humbled himself. He didn't deny his actual nature, but he took on our nature. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And we see the central place of heaven's love language. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes to show us, he goes on to show us in his death on the cross, it was an act of obedience. It was a free act of surrender, of offering, of a profound yes to the Father. Father, I love you. I trust you. I surrender to you, even to death on a cross, Paul reminds us. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's the whole economy of God's order. The proud are humbled, and the humbled are raised. Jesus shows us the pathway out of this dominion of darkness, out of this fallen world that still is under the kingdom of the enemy. This is not our home. And friends, we can certainly see it and taste it these days, can't we? So much sickness, so much fear, so much disorder, so much violence, hatred, rage, chaos, confusion. That sin problem that's in the human heart, it's not just in structures. It's present in institutions, really, but it's first and foremost and fundamentally present in human hearts who create institutions and instantiate it in institutions. But it's about the condition of the human heart that's under the dominion of darkness. And it's fundamentally pride that keeps the human race there. And Jesus counters that. And he begins the new humanity in himself, rooted in radical obedient love to God and in humility. So we're invited, friends, as we celebrate and exalt the cross, the instrument of our salvation. Jesus was raised from the dead. He was absolutely vindicated. The whole pathway that he walked, everything he taught, everything he lived is vindicated in the resurrection, his resurrection from the dead. And now he invites you and me to take up a cross. And in these times of challenge and difficulty, he wants us to walk his pathway, not the pathway of the world, not the pathway of political groups or whatever. He wants us to follow in his footsteps in radical obedient love to the Father. Love of God and love of neighbor right to the end, and it can happen through the grace and power of the Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.